watch New Survivor, we're stuck in a bad dream. So we're watching an old season with a silly pirate theme. Of course there's a new theme song, but it's as half-assed as our plans. And then says something, mumbo something, a word that rhymes with plans. John will make some dumb jokes, and he likes to yell and curse. Something about some backup host. How could hell be any worse? We'll spend the whole time wishing that our lives are back on track. But until then, it's Pirate Survivor. We can all be glad for that. It's the Purple Rock Whatever Podcast, arr, mateys.
Hello, and welcome back to the Purple Rock Survivor Podcast. For those of you who have not been paying attention to our website and just received this in your podcatcher, you'd be like, what the hell? We are decided to just podcast again because reasons. But there's not going to be any Survivor if you haven't heard. I hate to be the person to break the bad news to you. So instead, we've decided to do an old season, and we're going to have a rotating cast of characters to podcast with us every week. This week is Emma. Emma, how's it going?
Well, you know, that's a pretty complicated question these days, but about as well as it could, considering the world around us.
No idea what you're talking about. All right. So as the title of this podcast has probably already clued you in, we are doing what we like to call around here a watch-along. It's a little different than a rewatch for reasons I'll get into. Of Season 7 of Survivor, Pearl Islands. This was chosen after a series of voting on our website, so thanks to everybody who participated. We gave them a bunch of ones that we'd want to watch again, and this is the one that won. Why we call it a watch-along instead of a rewatch is if you have never seen Pearl Islands before, now's a great time to join us. And along with that, we are going to endeavor to keep the majority of our discussion spoiler-free, as though, you know, if you are watching it for the first time, you can watch and listen to this. For both Emma and myself, this is a rewatch. First time since it aired for me. Have you rewatched this ever until now?
I did. I rewatched it probably six or seven, you know, so it's been a while. Like I had to use alternative means to be able to rewatch it, which is no longer the case.
6 or 7 years, that's like a lifetime ago, at least for one person in the room. Christopher. Hey, look at this. So another thing I'm doing a little differently this season is I am watching this season with small people like this guy, with my family. We're going to watch this, and on how the watch-along is going to work is we're doing one episode per week. We're not going to do it in bunches. We're not binging at all. We're trying to recreate the experience of watching Survivor on a weekly basis and then podcasting about a weekly basis. It won't obviously be the same. We're probably not going to bother doing predictions. That would be a little weird. But you'll get our perspective and a little bit from there. So, Christopher, what'd you think of this season?
I liked it.
Yeah, I mean, I guess not this season, this episode. This is the third season of Survivor you've watched, right? Kind of near your head, yeah. So
we didn't finish the...
No, we actually did finish Africa, except we skipped the reunion. We will probably always skip the reunion because this is a little thing for people that might consider watching with small people. It's boring for them to just watch people sit around and answer questions. But sit here and watch this whole podcast later. No. So what did you like about it? What was something different about this one that you liked?
I like that they're actually set to an island that actually pirates used to be on.
Dar be pirates there. Oh no, I'm really going full dead right now. That's fun. It leads to a lot of the different stuff. Did you like it when they began the season in the town and buying stuff? How about out loud?
Nodding, yes.
Yes, there we go. What did you like about that?
He hesitates as he thinks.
It was different. I mean, you've been watching Survivor for so many months now. Yeah, they've never done that before.
I watched the first two, skipped the...
First. Yeah, we watched the second and the third season with
them. So, like, the first one.
Yeah. You want to keep watching this, Aza? Yeah, so we'll watch again next week. All right, you have anything to say to Emma, or the fans?
We voted?
Not we me. Did? Oh, they voted. How about we give everybody a notice, and not everybody, but a good portion, remind them that they should register to vote.
If you're able to vote, you should register.
All right. Good night. Talk to you maybe next week. I mean, I'll probably talk to you like tomorrow.
But... Oh, Andy's going to wait a whole week to talk to his child. These are the things he does for the podcast, everybody.
You can go now.
Should all be honored.
It's like a preview of what our discussion is going to be like, only I might not let Emma talk that as often.
Sayonara, bud. And also, while you're watching with your children, I did, you know, I don't know if this will last the whole season, but I did get my husband to watch the first episode, and he has not watched Survivor at all. Actually, he watched part of most of Survivor Co Wrong with me, which I believe was the first season that we were like living together during. So I was like, hey, this is my thing, you know, but in all fairness, well, it was like, oh, we'll watch this together. But I'm also like texting my mom and like tweeting the whole time. Then he's just like, I don't. And then the finale, I, you know, was lucky enough to be able to go to that finale. So it's just like, what am I doing here? I don't care about this. I don't want to watch it. And you know what? That's fair, because he does a lot of things that I don't care about, namely every single video game on the world.
All right, and now Emma's husband here to answer some questions. Yeah.
Also does not care about podcasting. But, you know, it is fun to get, you know, a few insights and, like, from someone who doesn't watch the show, but also, like, kind of, you know, kind of vaguely knows about it, because I will force him to listen to me as I talk about it sometimes. So, you know, every now and then as we talk, I can maybe, you know, sprinkle in a little bit of those thoughts as well.
Yeah, and that kind of works in on what we're doing, that this isn't just a straight up rewatch. You know, it is for us. We are trying to make this an experience for people who might be watching the first time, and both of us are experiencing that as we're doing it. It's funny, this is not my wife's first time. She watched it with me back when it aired. And she listens to the podcast all the time, so you'd think she isn't, but she is such a casual that she cannot remember who won this season, which, you know, if you have that information, is kind of funny. We encourage you all to, you know, join in. You know, if you've already watched the season and you don't feel like doing this rewatch, that's fine. You should remember it, and you can still listen to the podcast every week. But, you know, we're trying to create something here. So if you're looking for something to do, there should be at least an hour of your schedule opened up that is not going to be taken up by this. Or frankly, much other television right now. Like, some shows are coming back, but most of them aren't either. Hopefully this could be fun, at least until the world falls apart. All right, so getting into this season, how'd you like it? How'd you feel about the premiere? Is this, you know, let's start off with a less broad, more specific question. Is this the best season premiere in Survivor history?
I would say no. I think it's hard to top Heroes versus Villains. And then I think also for super fans, Winners at War, well, it personally for me, like, you know, definitely an enjoyable season, but wasn't like a super top one for me. That premiere is just so like magical. I think this is definitely a fun premiere, but it was something. I haven't watched an old school season of Survivor in quite some time, whereas you just recently watched Australia and Africa, which are really old school. And it was interesting seeing, like, I know this is a season that's talked about as being like a particularly exciting premiere and all that. And I did kind of find sometimes of it being a little slow. Like, once they're at camp and just been like, you know, and I feel this way too about, like, it's nice to hear more about characters and stuff than we always get to sometimes, but then I was like, I don't feel like I know these people that well after like a full hour without commercials talking, you know, about it. And it's just kind of chilling and hanging out and not knowing to look for a well and that sort of thing. You know, I wasn't bored or anything, but it was interesting seeing such a different pace.
Yeah. Well, this is actually a 90-minute premiere, so it is over an hour without commercials. I think it clocked in.
I think mine was like 64 minutes, so I was
something like that. But thank you. But yeah, that makes sense. Like, it's an extended premiere, so that might explain why. Yeah. there seem to like jump into the downtime much faster than what is expected. Yeah. I think a lot of people do comment about this being the best ever, or maybe one of the best ever, maybe best newbie beginning ever. And I think it's because they did some unique things in it. And I think that's really important for ranking is why, like, a season that had something. So as much as people like to, you know, maybe yawn about gimmicks or complain, and boy, are there a lot of reasons to complain about some of the gimmicks. At least it helps something stand out in your mind, because, yeah, I don't know if I can answer to Heroes versus Villains, Winners at War would be the ones that leap to my mind, too. But it's like I generally view Seasons of Survivor more as a whole, so I don't remember episode by episode as much. But this is certainly like a unique way to begin the season, and that gave it a lot of energy.
Yeah, I would say more so than like the premiere as a whole. It's maybe one of the more exciting openings, yeah. You know, if you think of that first opening sequence.
So let's talk about the opening, because obviously what really set it off, I think what people like, is the going into town and, you know, buying their own supplies gimmick, which led to a lot of great moments. Obviously, like Rupert stealing the shoes. Shoes are exciting. Sandra having an extreme advantage over everybody and, yeah, helping her tribe. And I gotta say, I did not remember just how imbalanced. Like, I remember that Sandra did well in this, but, like, that other tribe barely had anything. And it's like, they just kept coming with more supplies. It was like, you might need two trips.
Yeah, I mean, there's no denial that, you know, I mean, because it's like, they're not in this, like, quote unquote, like, obscure place or, like, far-flung island. They're in Panama, which is a country that speaks Spanish, which is a very common language for Americans, especially for Sandra, who is of Puerto Rican descent. And, like, you know, I'm sure there are people in the Morgan tribe who knew, like, some high school Spanish, but as someone who has been doing Duolingo for well over a year every day, it's just not the same. Like, I can read Spanish pretty well, but hearing someone speak to me is so hard. And thinking of the words myself is still so much harder. And so to have that fluency is like an extreme advantage, but it's also like, you know, I would never say it's, and I'm not saying you're saying that, but like, I would never, you know, call it an unfair advantage, because maybe a tribe has an advantage because someone, you know, knows how to build fire, is just very strong, or, you know, everyone comes to the table with, is Joe Anglum. Everyone comes to the table with different things, you know, it was an Olympic swimmer or whatever. So they were.
Well, yeah, I don't think it's unfair, other than the way that all these things always are unfair. Sometimes some people are better at things than you. It's just, this was her moment to shine. And I think it was more than just the language. Obviously, the
language
thing. But, like, she was comfortable in that environment. She's immediately, like, you know, like, engaging with people. And, you know, and she's, you know, she's.
The negotiation is, you obviously, it helps if you can speak the language, but you still have to have that skill of negotiating, and a lot of people don't. And so I think I was just gonna say something, but that might be too spoilery, so I stuffed myself. But
there's gonna be a lot of that this season. Like,
we're trying our best.
We are gonna have a section at the end where, you know, spoiler warning, leave now, and then we'll just kind of go at, you know, and that'll allow us to kind of talk about things that affect the full season.
Yeah, when she comes home with that entire barbecue, it's like, this is the one time where it's not crazy that they were drinking alcohol on Survivor, because they probably had perfectly full stomachs because they just had to eat all of that chicken.
Yeah, no, it's actually, like, after a while, I was like, is that a fair trade? Like, this woman was going to have a barbecue with all her friends, and she's like, no, sorry, nothing. But, you know, I don't know how nice a chain that was. I also find that something that happens in these scenarios, and you see it a lot on The Amazing Race, is you get the TV cameras around. There's, like, a thing. People want to be part of the show. So that might have also helped. It's like, yeah, man, like, there's a chicken, and, like, they're gonna take it. It's like, what's everybody else at the party gonna have? Well, hopefully this wasn't somebody's birthday. Maybe they had a bunch more.
Right, this could have, and we don't know how long the barbecue had been happening. You know, that could have been,
it could be the burgers that kind of end up at the end there, but, like, that looked like some really good roasted chicken, and I'm not starving. So, yeah, like, it's just a really unique way, and we get to kind of know the characters right away. They're doing something different. Basically, it was like importing a little bit of The Amazing Race into Survivor.
Yes, absolutely.
Which I think the question is, like, should they do this gimmick again? Like, this is the only time that they've ever done it. And, you know, I think most Survivor fans like it. They refer back to it as a fun thing. But is it something that they should have done more than once? Or should
yeah, it is an interesting question because, yeah, it is something that was fun to watch. But I think there is also part of it is that sense you were mentioning of, like, is this a fair trade? And, like, is there some, like, ickiness there going on? And obviously it depends on also where they're located because not every island, you know, obviously everywhere they go has civilization and people act like it doesn't. But, like, obviously it does. But, you know, some places are definitely more remote than others. Like, that is a full town, you know, and, like, so not everywhere's going to have that, like, infrastructure. But, yeah.
Well, the opposite problem, like, just outside of where they're filming is, like, resorts and stuff. And
right.
It's like, will that give too much modernity into the mix of the aesthetic of the show?
Definitely. And then I think there's also, you know, there's the sense of, like, people, you know, if it ends up like this, like, where it fully ends up being, like, a haves versus have-nots thing, because one thing is so overpowered, then that might end up lessening the amount of drama later in the season. Or you have, you know, they were able to work around it, but you have the Drake tribe being like, oh, man, we didn't even think to buy clothes, and, like, having that be an issue. Whereas the Borga tribe, you know, you have Austin sold his clothes, and so now he has one pair of boxers that doesn't even seem to fit, which how do they already not fit? That is something I was wondering.
Yeah, but I mean, like, most people's underwear fit at the beginning of a Survivor season.
Right, if it was the end of the season, I get
underwear
it.
That fits. And no, not really, it's not so much.
This is a great argument for boxer briefs over boxers, because then you're not just focusing on the waistband being fitted. Like, I feel like they're probably more likely to stay up. But yeah. Not my area of expertise. But, yeah, I think there's it's fun in that moment, but I think there's potential for, you know, it to end up having long-term impact over a season.
Mind is like, it is something that they could have maybe done another time, another couple of times, but it's like, it would end up being like most Survivor, like, little things, and that people would figure out how to game it and it would lose all its joy and fun, right? Like, this is what's happened with the auction and the challenge where you pick who you're targeting. And
people, like, would start bringing stuff that's, like, good at, you know, even, like, specific,
yeah, like, jackets. Luxury items, like, yeah, all this, like, as soon as people start, like, finding ways to hack it, you know, to the degree, like, a lot of people, like, I don't want to win the family challenge, or, you know, is that it, you know, they just have to get rid of it, and that would happen here, and it probably wouldn't take that long, because, you know, what was fun about it was, you know, chaotic, and you get to see all the choices people make, whether, you know, some of them really bad, some of them really, you know, really well, like what Sandra's able to do versus what Austin does. It's just mind-blowing, and I mean, we're going to get into Austin. He makes a lot of choices in this episode, and I don't know if a single one of them was good. Then this, you know, where, yeah. Sure, I won't need anything but ill-fitting underwear for a month and a half? That's insane.
Not to mention just making a dazzling first impression with the women on his tribe by being like, yeah, by just suggesting, like, oh, you know, there's these old men at the village is just, you know, and this is a family podcast, so we're going to keep it clean, she says, almost certain to swear up a storm later. But, yeah, just, like, and what Nicole points out is that it's not just that he suggests that, but that it's basically the first thing he sent to them.
Yeah, it doesn't know their names.
Yeah, which is the bigger problem. Like, you know, you really need to be able to have an established rapport with people before you suggest that they sell their bodies.
They whore themselves out for a TV show competition. Yeah, I would say I don't know what level of relationship I would have before I would get that. Like, you and I know each other pretty well, and I still don't know if I'd be like, you know what could really help the podcast, Emily. Emma.
Well, I don't know how well that would really help, though, let's be honest.
Well, honestly, the demographics. Yeah, so, like, you see all this panicky action, and, like, the I should have wrote it down. I'm not sure what tribe is what. Which is,
Morgan is bad, Drake is good in this episode.
Right. Morgan behind. All right. So the Morgan tribe just up and leaving their stuff there. Like, yeah, it leads to, you know, Rupert has a genius idea of doing that. But even just what did they think was going to happen? Like, when they arrive on the shore, one person from the other tribe is watching, you know, the stuff they leave behind, is watching their raft. And they're just like, well, this must be the raft, the deposit area. Like, it doesn't mean, like, it doesn't, or they really thought that they were outsourcing the security of their things to somebody else. Like, forget the whole piracy and all that. It's just like, he could have just been like, all right, I'm done catching my breath. Now I'm going to carry this stuff out here so somebody else doesn't take
it. Right, anyone else could have stolen it. I also love the moment when he does take it and is giving it to, you know, his tribe mates. And as soon as he just says, like, oh, there's stolen goods, and Johnny Fairplay just instantly tucks it under his shirt. It's just like, oh, okay. Like, no, it's like, this is not his first time shoplifting. He knew exactly what to do.
And then, like Ryan, like, running all off to find a boat, smart, except doesn't know anything about what he needs, or doesn't have the money on him, and doesn't tell anybody. Like, just in that instant, and obviously it's panicked, everything's happening, they weren't even expecting the game to start, can lead to bad decisions, but it actually is, you know, indicative of their entire episode, right?
Right, this really showcases Morgan being kind of the messy tribe.
Yeah. It's interesting all that, but like, if we, by the second, maybe the third time it would happen, it wouldn't be like that at all. They would arrive, they would form a game plan, and it would just be mechanical. Everybody would know, like, the main things. Maybe there'd be like one or two wackadoos who are all like, no, we should get something like this, and they'd get shouted down, and it would just become rote. So honestly, it's probably best that it was a one-time special thing. And then the other issues that you started to get into, this is a thing you see on The Amazing Race a lot, where, you know, rich game show contestants are artificially poor by the competition they're in the TV show, and suddenly we get treated to the pleasure of watching them beg, you know, much less well-off people for money so that they can succeed at this competition. And it does not feel good. And also, like, you saw elements of that. You see, you know, you saw Tawana, like, yelling at them for all that. And, you know, like, maybe that she felt like she was being ripped off and all that, but it doesn't look good. And, you know, if that's what Survivor suddenly would be, especially since, you know, as this game evolves and people start to form their strategies, you know, there'd be some asshole who's just going to try to, like, overpower people for deals because they think, like, this is the strategy. Like, imagine Russell Hans doing this.
Oh, God. Yeah. And like, when you know that Sean is wearing a Armani suit, it's like, and is wearing that, you know, at that time is still wearing it, you know, in the village. It's just like, you don't want to see someone like that haggling.
Yeah.
Or
like Austin, didn't he like sell one shoe to somebody?
Yeah.
And it's just like, did that person want that one shoe? Or is it just like, this large human with cameras is yelling at me and is just like, sure, I'll take a couple of shekels, you know, because, like, it didn't even seem like he got a lot for it. The other hilarious thing about Austin, you know, selling all his clothes and whoring out the women is they left with lots of money. They didn't need any of the money that he, you know, they had enough.
And that they didn't spend all their money. I could forgive some of it if it was just, like, really not knowing how much the boat would be. But that's why Ryan O's strategy would have been really good, you know, if he had brought the map with him, find out how much that would cost and save that amount. But yeah, like, I mean, poor Ryan S is just like, what is he, like, he's just so clearly, I don't know when the last time I've seen someone who's just so clearly on the wrong tribe, like, and like, what would his situation be on it? They highlight it so much, even, you know, there's that, like, oh, this is what we should be doing in the village. And then you see the Drake tribe doing that. And then, like, man, when we saw the flag and, like, we landed on the beach, no one wanted to celebrate. And then you got to Drake and they're like, we're here. Yay!
Yeah. That's actually probably the biggest surprise for me this episode is just how much I identified with Skinny Ryan. You're like, hey, well, you know, maybe back at that time it was more.
I was going to say, you're lucky I was drinking water, so I can say, but he's skinny.
Yes, well, again. I guess now, but you know, you've seen pictures of, you know, Mia around that age.
How much code have you gotten for your chain?
Probably not much. Well, it depends on how much I yelled at them. But yeah, it's just like he was the observer figure, and so much of what he was saying was dead ass right. Yeah, he was right that, hey, maybe we should have a plan. Hey, maybe we should take a moment and take this in. Maybe we shouldn't run up and down the beach, but we should just kind of conserve some energy and think about it and talk. And that brings us to another shining Austin moment where, yeah, he's just like running up and down. Like, why? But yeah, just like a lot of times I was just like, eh, because pretty much all I remember of Skinny Ryan is, well, that he's called Skinny Ryan and die, you know, the jerks.
Nope.
That will make no sense to anybody.
Yeah.
Something else that happens at some point in some untold future.
It's fine.
No, that is fine. That's not really going to spoil anything with no context, but that is the kind of conversation that we need to avoid having. Thank you. But yeah, I guess that, like, you know, he and Savage didn't get along because Savage didn't think very highly of him as a competitor, and Ryan didn't like that.
Yeah, you really see the Savage that's in Cambodia, you know, talking about, like, the not identifying with, like, losers. I mean, I know that's not exactly what he said, and I can't remember it now, but, like, you get that vibe real quick.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, that was one way that the show kicked off a little differently. The other thing they did differently that doesn't read as differently to us now, but was absolutely new at the time, which was, you know, just kicking them off the boat with the clothes that they're wearing. And this way, they were extra tricky about it, is that they said they were going to the photo shoot, so people dressed up nicely, and then they were booted right away with what they were wearing. Now, is this a good change for the show?
I can see why the marooning is fun, but honestly, I don't even like now that they don't get, you know, clothes and stuff like that. Because, I mean, you do have these situations, like Nicole is completely screwed. But even if she had, you know, something under there, as Probe so sketchily put it, like, it's a tiny little dress, and, like, yeah, it sucks to have an expensive suit out there, sure, but you have a jacket, mm-hmm. and you have layers. You don't have a, you know, bodycon tube dress, which does nothing, is, like, completely useless. All she can do is, like, have a longer skirt while wearing a buff. Like, that's, they wouldn't even, if they were as resourceful as Drake, they wouldn't be able to have made as many pieces of clothing as they did with Krista's dress, mm-hmm. you know? And I think it's something, you know, I think the sort of Survivor community has kind of, like, learned after the fact about, say, like, Purple Kelly or something like that. And people, like, it definitely impacts the women, but not, you know, it also impacts everyone, is just not having the right clothes. And that, yes, the survival element is part of it, but, like, there's no, it doesn't, having them, like, not be able to sleep doesn't really help the entertainment.
Yeah, and it's like, it so quickly became, like, this judgment on them. It's like, yeah, it's really Nicole's fault that she dressed exactly the way that you guys probably want her to dress for such photos, you know? Right. Hell, you might have approved, you probably almost certainly approved the outfits before they put them on. So yeah, and yeah, just things like, yeah, the guy's wearing suits, Rupert in the jeans. It's like, I don't mind the modern idea that they basically have one set of clothing. I do like the improvement that started to happen with some layers.
Right. Like, if they have a layered outfit and a swimsuit, fine.
Yeah. It's better than, because I've been watching older seasons where, like, at, you know, Australia, they had like 15 changes of clothes or something supplied by Reebok. You know, they had their raincoats and their winds and I think it adds the aesthetic that they basically have an outfit, and also I imagine it helps with editing that they're not wearing different clothes every other day. Now, obviously, the survivors find different ways; they borrow other people's clothes, they wear the tube tops, but, you know, frankly, like. And it starts right here this season that the characters start to have, like, signature looks, right? You know, Rupert and the tie-dye, right. Lil and the, you know, Scoutmaster costume, to the point where as they start to return as players, they have to, like, keep finding, like, new renditions of their classic outfits. I think this actually helps from like a character building standpoint. And the franchise wasn't necessarily interested in long-term character development for this because they were never bringing anybody back. So I don't mind it from there, but I'm glad they haven't done it to this degree of like, let's catch them wearing their best clothes and send them out. Now, when they kind of get sent out, they kind of know, like, this is the outfit I'm going to wear. And, within the bounds of the editorial choices of the show, they get to at least kind of make some better choices. Although, as discussed, not for everybody.
But, and it's also, now it's kind of like, I think they still sometimes will pull the photo shoot trick thing, but it's like, if you're falling for that, you didn't prepare enough.
Yeah, or you don't know.
Right. Like, well, I mean, that's why, like, you didn't. You're recruiting, you didn't look into stuff in terms of preparing. But speaking of the aesthetics, one thing that was funny to me is now what we really see, the outfits really correspond to the tribes. And so it was very bizarre seeing so many people in blue on Orange Morgan, or like Sandra's like whole peach pantsuit thing, or I don't even know what you call that outfit, being on the blue Drake tribe. It's like, wait, what's happening? They don't match.
It's actually a thought I had. It's like, this might be the first time in, Survivor or possibly recorded history that, like, the people who are, like, less defined, at least, as attractive might have had a bit of an advantage in that they aren't driven to wear the less practical clothing, right? Like, skinny Ryan's, nice outfit is just basically what somebody would wear on Survivor. You know, Rupert got to at least wear that, but, the jeans, really terrible, but like jeans. If he just wore like normal, pants, he would have been fine, right? He's the guy who decided, that he had dress jeans. like even Sandra, like her, it's like a full set of clothes, but not like an impractical dress or like, the suits. For
them. Right, like she has pants and a shirt.
Yeah. So it's almost just like the people who aren't coded as having to, dress up in, sexily for the women or business suits for the men ended up, having a bit of an advantage. Like, if he were in, possibly like track pants and a sweater, maybe Austin would have kept his clothes, right? So that was just, but what you were saying before kind of touches on the next part I wanted to get into is like what stands out for us, like about the game then versus now, obviously no spoilers. Is that, and we're saying, like, if now you get caught, in the photo shoot wearing something so impractical, it's because you didn't prepare. I think that's honestly the biggest thing that really stood out for me this episode. And, it has in the previous ones. But, at this point, we are 7 seasons into Survivor, so it feels a little less new for the people. But still, how much people screw up in ways that you just don't see in modern Survivor at the beginning, and in ways that I just don't think you could get now in Survivor. And this isn't to say that like people don't go on Survivor now without having watched it when they were cast, but other than like some really bizarre, like, examples, like maybe like a JP and HHH or like Vince from like Worlds Apart or something, most people who appear on the show now will have had some kind of passing familiarity with it. Either they are super fans and they'll know everything we're supposed to do, or there's enough of that type that the tribe can lean on, or you get cast and the entire history of the show is at your fingertips. You can watch it. You can catch up to a degree if you choose to.
Yeah. I don't think you're getting people anymore who don't think to check the map for where the well might be, or even consider that they have a well. Like, it wasn't just that they thought, because I think now it maybe isn't always on a map, or something. I don't even know.
And there's a map, really.
You have to, like, look for it. But, like, they were looking for a stream of water. Like, just, I mean, and so, yeah, that was something where we were, when we were watching it, we see the Drake tribe, you see them first find the well, right? And then the other, then the Morgans are looking for it. And my husband was like, don't they have a well? Like, what? Don't they have, like, a water supply? And I was like, well, remember how the Drake tribe found it? And so once they eventually get the map, he's just like, oh, my God.
Yeah, no, that was brilliant. And I'll say, in terms of spoilers, like Matt had already talked, like he had watched before, I think either of us, yeah. And he'd mentioned on the Slack, it's like, oh my God, I forgot that they didn't even, like, they went a day without water. And so, like, I was like, what? Oh, this is going to be hilarious. So it's like looking at the people I'm watching with, they probably didn't find it as funny. But it's just like, yeah, It's insane. And it's like, that's the sort of thing that you could get then that you're not going to get now. You know, they would know, and even if there's somebody out there that's clueless, nine other people wouldn't be, right? They'd be like, okay, this is what we do here. Like now it'd be like, you know, where the put the shelter is already roughed in from like five previous seasons.
Yeah.
And notches on the trees or whatever. Yeah, they'll know where the water well is. And then there'll be super fans and be like, this is where they peed and all this. So
yeah, like, you'll remember where to put the shelter just because you can like picture it in your head.
That's right. I remember this shot from just, yeah. So like that's an extreme version. But like even as it progresses, the level of like just incompetence that you see in this episode is, I think, just completely missing from Modern Survivor. And, you know, I'm not even necessarily, maybe that's a good thing, maybe that's a bad thing. For me, it was kind of like, man, well, actually, I was entertained by a lot of the incompetence this episode by seeing, like, Austin running around like a chicken with his head cut off, not knowing what to do. You wouldn't see that. People would get to the beach. Maybe a few assholes would be like, this is what we're doing. And then we'd get confessionals from other people's like, I don't want to weave palm fronds. But, like, it's now, and this kind of gets into back what I was saying, why, you know, continually shopping for supplies would lose its charm. It's just one of these things. This is what we do. These are the steps. And I think that's why, like, premieres aren't like this anymore, because so much of, like, the early Survivor, just people know the game plan, even if it's their first time playing. Whereas back then, if you aren't watching the show, like, you know, clearly Skinny Ryan is, a few others, you can't catch up on it. Now, forget, you know, YouTube or streaming.
I think at best you could get it on VHS, maybe.
What stood out for the episode now for you, compared, like, what it's like now compared to what it was like then?
Yeah, I think you know what you mentioned, that definitely was a big factor, and just not seeing any like we saw alliances kind of form, but we didn't see them like. Made, you know, like you saw people naturally click together, mm-hmm. as will happen no matter what if you just throw a group of people, but you didn't see, you know, yeah, you saw like Ryan O and Andrew say like hi, you know, like hanging out, but you didn't see them being like, hey, final three man, right, final, you know, or final four, final two, whatever, this group, this is us, like, or and similar where you kind of saw the narrative on Drake of like the kind of quote unquote cool kids like getting together and like the people who are outside, and like you know, like, oh, I bet that's gonna be a thing, but you don't see Sean and Burton and Michelle and John get together and be like, oh, let's be a team. You don't see Krista and Sandra being like, oh, we're together, you know, which is a, which now like you've hit the beach and they're like, I like the cut of your jib. Let's never betray each other. Yeah. We made eye contact once. I shall never turn on you.
That's right. I like the way that you you know, stirred your coffee when we were in lockdown. Yeah, no, absolutely. There wasn't really any strategic talk. It was all like interpersonal social stuff, right? Mm-hmm. People not liking, you know, Rupert not liking that, you know, Sean and Burton were off, you know, telling everybody what to do, and Krista taking a, you know, understandable offense at them opening coconuts and just serving each other. And that stuff also, yeah, like that's interpersonal stuff. That's not really strategic stuff. And also kind of gets to how different it was back then. Like nobody would do that on Modern Survivor. Like you would, even if you wanted to, maybe if it's like, you know, like a Karen Moen type tribe.
I was going to say maybe Eddie and Reynolds.
Yeah, but even that, like that's kind of a long time ago now. But yeah, like maybe that. But for the most part, like, they would know.
Drew Christie would absolutely do that.
Absolutely. But most people would know. Like, you don't do that. That is, like, you wouldn't want to send that stuff out. You'd do that. You'd steal the coconuts when people aren't looking. Not right out in front of people.
Like, and because that's the thing. Like, Drew Christie is a legendarily, you know, idiot, douchey guy, Survivor player. No one is talking about Sean and Burton in that way, like, spoiler, but like, just because nobody, yeah, it wasn't seen that same way. It's just like a little bit of a faux pas, but in this, you know, it's not talking about voting someone out while you're 4 feet away from them.
Yeah. And then, like, yeah, on the Morgan tribe, it's more your standard type stuff. People tend to, you know, they were congregating around each other due to, you know, physical advantage and all that, and then just isolating the people that they look down on, like this, you know, typical social dynamics, but not like alliance building, not strategic. Is then, which isn't to say that it didn't happen. People might be like, oh, in interviews, Sandra said that Krista was her best friend or something like that. I don't know. Again, that's not a spoiler. I literally don't know if that's been said or not. But on the episode, that was not the focus of it. It is very much just about like getting to know the people and then figuring things out, which, you know, for some people, be like, yeah, that's what's missing from Modern Survivor. I miss it when it was more focused on the people. What I found now, this is my third older season watching in the, you know, since, you know, the last season ended, since Winners of War ended. I guess I don't really care for that stuff as much as I thought. Like, I enjoyed it when it happened. You know, you and I have watched Survivor, not together, since it aired, because, you know, you were about as old as Christopher, I think, and I was, you know, a college student.
I was more like Alex's age.
There we go. But so, you know, I enjoyed it as it goes, but is what going back, it's like, yeah, it's kind of nice. But it's also like, you know, some of it feels slow. Like, why, like, it seems like night two and they're already talking about, like, we're already getting the going fishing montages and stuff. It's like, in a Modern Survivor, like, there would not be time for that in the premiere. We've got, you know, challenges and, you know, extraneous gimmicks that might be unnecessary. And, you know, meeting all these people, extra people that are now. And then we got to get to the voting. And this... it had more time to breathe. That was nice. But it was also just like, man, the people really don't know what they're doing.
Yeah, I think really the only strategy we saw, happened to actually lead to the vote off, which was Tijuana, once she hears her name is being thrown out by Nicole, is like, well, then fuck it. Let's vote her out.
Yeah, and I guess the flip side of that is Nicole trying to, you know.
But even that was because she didn't like her.
Yeah.
You know, she just said she didn't like her. So, and I think it, you know, somewhat surprisingly, based on what I think people would have assumed, it seemed like she did like Lillian, and was like, hey, you know, spending time with her, and so she was like, oh, what if we go vote out Tijuana instead? But look who had the stronger social bonds there, I guess.
Yeah, well, and even there, like, kind of speaks to the lack of strategy in that. She just kind of puts it out there. Like, she hasn't, like, counted any votes. She hasn't brought anybody. It's just like, hey, how about the three of us vote for her? Like, where was the plan? Like, what are the tribes? 8 and 8?
Yeah,
so 3 is not enough. And I'm not sure where she thought the other vote was coming from. Like, maybe she had ideas, but, like, I can't think of it. It certainly wasn't that anybody, when her people that heard that she was making this movie want to wanna, were like, sure, let's do it. No, it was like instantly like, okay, her. Like, so.
And when they brought up Nicole, no one was like, no, we can't get rid of Nicole.
Yeah, at best it was like, oh, but I really want to get rid of Lillian or Ryan. But then it's like, okay, about her. And like in her exits, she doesn't seem to be like, yeah, oh, I took a shot and missed or anything like that. It was clearly just like, yeah, that's probably how it's going to go. I just, you know, somebody annoyed me, so I thought I could get rid of them. It's like, yeah, it's just a totally different vibe, a different game back then. And it's, again, it's not a criticism. It's how it was then. It's just so different from how it is now.
I got to say, she took it better than just about anyone, at least I can remember, taking being a first boot. She's like, yeah, fair enough. Checks out.
You know what? I wonder if part of it is, I had no desire to do 33 more days of this.
If she's like, well, now I can put on some real clothes.
Yeah, because we'll clearly never see her again. And honestly, like, that is a discussion. It's something that I kind of had a bit when I was watching Australia. You know, that is like, people like, I like it better when it was more about the characters, when it was less structured and game stuff. And that is a common discussion point, and I think it's fair. For me, I don't know that Survivor survives if it's just about like meeting new people and, you know, their personalities and their experience. And it, like, I think the only way Survivor continues as a television show is by becoming more of a game, more of a strategy based thing, because a lot of reality shows come and go that are very personality driven, and you know, Sometimes it's like one personality or group of personalities moving through. Sometimes it's like, yeah, meeting new people all the time. And they usually kind of start to peter out. And what I think sustains shows like this is that it's hard to always find new ways to make new people interesting, but games refresh themselves. You know, we will continue to watch sports, even though they fall, you know, generally follow, maybe not this year, the similar thing of, you know, the games go and end, and then we have a champion at the end. It's the same similar structure. There's comfort in that structure. And I think Survivor had to start becoming more a contest among people who wanted to play a contest and kind of knew the contest. I think, just relying on, you know, finding standout characters. Obviously, when it's at its best, it's doing all of those things. But I think we had to lose some of the stuff that, you know, we're seeing right now because the show wouldn't continue. I don't know. Does that make any sense, what I'm saying?
Yeah. I feel the same. I think I'm more drawn. Like, yeah, you like to know about the people, but it's ultimately we're in this for the game. If we weren't, you know, you and I would watch a lot more reality TV than we do. And also I was just curious, now that we're talking about who was voting out, did your boys have any thoughts about who should have been voted out, or did they agree?
Yeah, now they're at the stage where they don't really know that many people.
I
think Christopher wanted Austin voted out. Yeah, that was absolutely what he wanted, because the underwear. He didn't want to keep watching the underwear that didn't fit. And he's like, so I think he felt like, yeah, because he doesn't have clothes, he should go. That was very good. Chris Alexander, just outed my kids, but I think I've done that for years now, so who cares? I'm not sure. I think
you introduced him. He was on the show.
Yeah. Well, not the other one. I think he wanted. I don't think he had a preference. Actually, no, I know for sure. He was sitting there and he's like, "I don't care because I don't know these people yet."
Fair enough. Yeah, I once Morgan lost, I asked my husband. I was like, "Okay, who would you get rid of? Who do you think you should go?" And his first off the cuff thing was Austin, because he seems divisive. And then as time sort of went on, they're discussing, I was like, okay, who do you think it's going to be, you know? And so he was thinking for a while, probably Lillian, because she wasn't connecting with people. And then obviously once Andrew brought up Ryan, skinny Ryan, he's like, okay, well, it seems like they could go that way. And he still thought, like, while they were first started reading the votes, that it'd be Ryan, until you started getting more of those Nicoles. And he was like, oh, okay. And then he's like, that is not what I would have done.
That's interesting.
Like, yeah, she's coming into the trap. Join us.
Right. And that's kind of how it always was. It's just you start to engage, like, what would I have done? Oh, no, I don't disagree with that choice. That's what hooked me in. And I feel like that's what's kept people. That isn't, I think, necessarily what hooked everybody. When this was 20 million people, it wasn't that. They were very much about Rudy and Colleen and Richard and all that, and Colby and Jerry. And that's fine. That's great. But those people started going away, right? And some of it is because, you know, Africa's boring and, yeah, Thailand is awful or whatever like that. But I think it's also just because it's not new anymore. And, you know, the very idea of people, like, clearly they're not actually, you know, killing each other and all that. Like, it fades away. And the people that I think it really addicted were the people who were sitting there like, what would I do? Oh, yeah, no, that's not what you should do. You should do this. And I think so the progression of the game, some people will blame the show. Yeah. Oh, it's not like it used to be. They don't know how to edit like they used to. Yada yada yada. It's like, it's not just that the editors made that choice. I think it's just the natural progression that if you have a competition for a lot of money happening every year, and eventually you're gonna fill it with people who want to play it, and that's kind of where it is. And I think, you know, they've found ways to advance. There's been interesting stuff. There'll be interesting stuff that happens this season. But I think just like it's always just going to be that way, or it's just going to cease to exist. But let's speak about the people. Who stood out to you this episode?
Yeah, I think it definitely, you know, obviously Sandra in that challenge. You see Andrew as the leader standing out. Skinny Ryan definitely got a lot of confessionals and sort of fish out of water type stuff, like not fitting in with his tribe. Obviously, you know, some Rupert and all the fishing and stealing the shoes. I think he's obviously a big standout character of this episode.
Yeah, I thought Rupert really stood out, and yeah, you know, he did when I watched it years ago. Like, you know, this isn't too spoilery just for other people. It's like, I'm not going to pretend anything other than the first time I watched Paradons, I was Team Rupert. Yeah, there might be, yeah, we'll see how long he goes, but I was won over pretty quickly, and I imagine it started this episode. Because, yeah, you know, the pirate thing, which kind of was fun and cute with the shoes, but, like, you know, wearing the skirt and just being okay with that and, like, you know, being excited about it. And then there's immediately a little bit of sympathy where, you know, Sean first, and then Burton joins in, you know, making fun of it. Like, what year was this? Did you know that?
I want to say 04, but I'm not positive. Yeah. But if you vamp a little, I can look it up.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking too. Around there, 04, 03. That's another thing. Like, just watching it from now, there's a lot of, like, early, you know, 2000s. Like, there's stuff there that, like, was just commonplace, and then that now reads even so much worse. And that the macho bullshit of there, like,
again, end of 03.
There you go. Like, them making fun of him for wearing a skirt, I feel like you wouldn't get that as much now. Even though there are clearly many douchebags that be like that. Another thing that was kind of, you know, stood out a bit, and this would be one that would be probably funnier if anybody but you and I were on this tonight. Fun note about that, John was like, oh yeah, no, I think I'll be there. And, you know, I told everybody the plan was watch Wednesday night, record Thursday night. I've written it down both in our Slack where we communicate these things, and also on the website that we run. And then, you know, that's what the plan was. So then we're about to start, and I'm like, hey, we're waiting for you. He's like, what? He didn't know that today was Thursday. He thought tonight was Wednesday. But the part about that is, like, so he thought tonight was Wednesday, but he still hasn't watched the episode. So he failed on both levels. But maybe he thought he had for him, we do record late, so he's like, I will have time before on Thursday, which is Friday. Because I'm like, yeah, we record Thursday night and post Friday like we've done forever.
For 7 years.
Yeah, and then Matt could not make it tonight, but he'll be on future. And that's kind of how we're going to do it. We're doing this every Thursday night. And what we're hoping is at least two of us show up. After that, if more show up, and then there'll just be more voices. But yeah,
it's going to happen the 1 week that it's just one person.
You know, it should be me.
If it's anyone but Andy, finally, we're in trouble.
Honestly, I have no desire to do this all by myself. I would be like, oh. Doesn't that guy ever shut up? But yeah, with Fairplay, it was kind of funny where he was talking about how funny he is, and then the show kind of juxtaposed it that he's less that he's the funny guy and more like he's just an obnoxious drunk who thinks he's funny when he drinks. And that's clearly got to be the first time that that's ever happened in recorded history. And this is the part where I would have gotten annoyed.
Right. It was funny.
If anybody that we were talking to now drank alcohol.
What a shame Brad isn't podcasting with us this season. Oh, wait. We're really cool, you guys. But yeah, I mean, I thought it was funny too, especially because it does show, they did still show people, like, laughing, but it was still sort of in that way. Like, even the, like, cool kids were laughing. It's just like, oh, yes, this is this clown we keep around.
Yes, he's the court jester. Yeah, and this so Sandra obviously stood out in the opening segment, but even here we're starting to get, like, her impression, like her basically talking about what a dumbass he is and that he's not that funny. It works here, and, you know, hopefully we'll see it for more of the rest of the season.
Yeah, that was delightful. I'll also say while we're on the subject of her, I asked the husband who his winner pick was, who he thought he. Took a long time to wait because that is not something he does because he doesn't watch this. So it's just like, wait for it. I like Sandra for it. And I was like, why? Because I realized, like, wait, I asked this question and it's impossible for me to respond because I can't, like, engage how I normally would be. Like, yes. You know, so just like, why? And she seems smart and everyone else seems dumb. So I'm like, okay.
I gotta say, that feels like something that either you'd have to be like an elite time Survivor watcher, or maybe somebody who hasn't watched Survivor at all, because I think most people would not pick like the small person. And now, again, like elite ones is just that they'll pick any, you know, nerd or like any darling. Like, that's who my winner is. Like, anytime that we have like, you know, our pools, you know, a Sandra type would get picked and not do well. I mean, that's how it goes. But yeah, it's interesting because yeah, I wouldn't have expected a, you know, somebody.
A newbie, yeah.
Yeah, I should have asked that question to people I was watching.
You can do it next week.
My wife. But yeah, she would pick somebody who has returned at least. But
right. Yeah.
And that's like probably why she's like, do I remember them for this or that? Yeah, because neither of my kids picked out a favorite just yet, which is a little unusual. It's actually kind of funny because like they were going into the final immunity challenge. Alex was like, which team do you like? Because he was trying to bait his brother into picking one side so he could pick the other side, because that seems to be how they want Survivor, always in opposition. Now, I think they both...
You can never watch Palau with them. It'll break them.
Yes. I know. Yeah, interesting. And why did you choose that? And what does that say about my parenting? Yeah, it would be at least nice to be like, they remind me of grandma. And then it'd be like, okay, good. But yeah. Yeah, so they didn't. But no, what the one note they did have is, and I tweeted this, they know that there's a season where they bring people back called Heroes versus Villains. They're convinced that Rupert, and in that moment, Rupert must come back as a villain because he was stealing. That's obviously villain behavior. And it's just like, and they're kept like, Dad, is he a villain? Like, just watch the show. Because this actually happens every once in a while. Christopher's like, who do you think going home? Like, buddy, I know who's going home. I know. And like, even kids, like, do you remember the whole Buddha? Yeah, kind of. Like, for Africa, I think there was, like, one episode. It's like, wait, is it this one or the next one? But by the end, it's like, okay, yeah, clearly it's this one.
Yeah, you know what's crazy? I'm pretty sure I might even at least know pretty close to the Boot Order of Africa, which is not a season I've rewatched, but just because of, like, the fandom, you know?
Yeah, that's the other thing.
Like, about people. It's not like I memorized it because I was 11. That'd be crazy. Mm-hmm. But although, to be fair, you know, as we've discussed, that is a season that sticks out for me a little more because Lex is from my hometown, so that was like a whole thing. Yeah. We have mutual friends on Facebook.
Yeah, no, that's part of it. You know, like, I remember when I've found that I've been rewatching, I still remember so much. Some of it is absolutely memory from the time that I watched it, but some of it is because how referential the community is. So, like, these are the moments. And then that sometimes gets into those moments. I can't remember the term, but it's like everybody's remembering it wrong. Like, that's not how that happened.
Mandela effect. Yeah. Oh, when Matt and I did the rewatch of Philippines, I mean, it was heartbreaking when...
He does not say there was a sauce!
Like, we had to have a whole segment on the podcast about it. We were so like, oh my god. It was really devastating. And when I did a blog about, like, I don't think... And Malcolm doesn't say, hold up, bro. That was brutal.
Yeah, no, it's tough. It's tough. So yeah, my standout's kind of the same as you. And like I said earlier, I was really digging Skinny Ryan as kind of our narrator of the suck that is Morgan. Just because every step of the way, it's like, man, you're probably right. Yep, yeah. You guys should probably plan. Also, like, even in the challenge, they disassemble and start carrying their cannon right away, whereas Drake rolls off away with it, just pulling it. It's like, nobody told you to take it apart yet. It'll move faster on wheels. They're just like, they could never just stop and think about things. So, like, from that's great storytelling all the way through, from, you know, running off, you know, from the second they hit the town, going 100 different directions, no idea, all the way through to the challenge.
It was really wild that they almost caught up just because, well, they got, like, stuck in the sand.
It's a bit wild, but honestly, it's just poor challenge design.
Right.
The Drake tribe has to move all the obstacles, and they just need to walk behind them. You know, and every once in a while, like, Drake would put something back right up.
The first thing was, like, the side-by-side. But, yeah, I was noticing that was the rock path, too. I was like, yeah, wait a second.
Yeah, so one tribe had to do all the work, and then it's like there's no time to, like, you know, kick it back behind you because they're right there. But that's not the highlight from that challenge. Obviously, the highlight for those that have seen on the website. How differently does three dudes strip naked to do a challenge play in watching in 2020 than it probably did back then? Because back then, it's played obviously for humor, because nothing funnier than a naked dude, and also, you know, almost like solidarity. Like, oh, look at how, you know, that was the intent. But now, knowing what we know, especially say the season right after this, not to get into spoilers, did it feel different watching it this time?
I mean, watching it, I think it's very easy for me to just be like, you know when it was. And mm-hmm. As you said, I think they spell out the intent, like, so clearly, like they told us before the challenge happened and like what was happening. I think really the thing is now you just wouldn't have a guy who only has a pair of underwear that doesn't fit. So it wouldn't be an issue. Like in that way, you wouldn't have it happened for that reason.
Yeah.
You know,
I feel like, you know, Dan and Worlds Apart had underwear issues. And then of course, Phillip's underwear. So they still,
yeah,
sometimes...
I mean, Max and Shireen also in Worlds Apart got naked. I think, yeah, Dan's just got lost in the water.
Yes.
But, again, they had other clothes, and it's not during a part where people are kind of forced to be in close proximity. What we don't know is we know the Morgan tribe discussed, we know those guys discussed it with themselves ahead of time. We don't know if they discussed with the rest of their tribe, but obviously what you really saw is, like, you know, Michelle on Drake instead of being kind of stuck like right next to them and that being the issue. I think now hopefully they would just make this a rule where it's just like, you're not allowed to get naked during a challenge. Like, yeah, just make that a rule and then you don't have to deal with
it. I would not be surprised if it's now a rule based.
Right,
on,
exactly. You know, I would think it would be.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, I mean, Morgan Behind is one of the great captions in the history of Survivor. Right?
I did have to stop and point that out. I'm like, I don't know if you saw it before this. It always said Morgan Trailing. He was just like, that's clever. I'm just like,
yeah. I was like, Morgan Behind. And I said, that might be the best caption or one of the best. You know, like Secret Agent is obviously right up there. And yeah, I think also in my living room, they're like, my wife probably did the nice, oh, huh. Because she's been with me for 19 years and knows when it's just easier to humor me and move on. I don't know. But so, like, it's, that is funny. How about Jeff? Like, this is totally like 2003, like Jeff Probst with his macho bullshit. Two Morgan members behind and not the ones anyone want to see. What? Yes, yeah, nobody would want to see super muscular Austin and, like, you know, Brian O naked. Yeah, absolutely.
It really did throw me off at first because the way he said it, like, you know, he said, like, to Morgan men. Like, yeah. So I was like,
this is like your bum.
I was like, no,
time.
Those are actually exactly the three I would pick. Like,
yeah. If you had a top two. And then, you know, Savage gets naked too.
Yeah, like, I mean, he's a dilf. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, and is it more like, yeah, the way he structures, like, not the guys you want to see, is just like, is it that the for Probst is like, if it's not Burton, just get the fuck out of here. I don't care. yeah, it's great that way. But yeah, the other, like, just in the 2020s, is like, yes. But what's interesting is just like,
right, like that was almost grosser than like the guys getting naked, because at least their rationale was something about just, like, not making Austin feel embarrassed.
Yes.
Whereas Jeff was like, don't we rather see women naked?
Yes. We'll give them peanut butter and everything. Just one season prior to this. But, yeah, just how it's different is, I feel like back in, like, 2003, 2004, around that time, it was more like the liberal position that, like, we have too much of a hang up about nudity, and, like, you know, like, you know, it's conservatives that would have a problem with this, and they won't, and it, you know, I think you saw this in the first season of Survivor where Hatch is out there and it's more defended that it's just like, this is not a sexual thing and all that, whereas now it's kind of like, yeah, that's fine for you, but when men especially do this, they're thrusting their own possibly intentional choice of words, you know, nudity onto other people. And that's not cool. And that's, you know, a vulnerability that the show should be protecting people from. So,
right. Like, you're not consenting to be around.
Yes.
These naked bodies.
And that, yeah, it's not just always, you know, just as innocent, I'm free about my body, you know, because you're not in, like, a designated place where people are. It's like, no, you're also, like, aggressively forcing that upon people who maybe aren't as comfortable in that area. So now we know that, you know, maybe not cool, but then it was mostly probably for comedy, you know, Sandra talking about dinglings, that sort of thing. I'll say there was giggling in the room that I was in. Because all bodily stuff is hilarious at that age.
Yeah, I think everyone was just like, why? It was just like, why?
I mean, there was also a good amount of that, why? Then once, you know, like, you know, especially because the way that Sandra's described it, like, yeah, I think Dingling was definitely one of those, and then, like, you know, this is like,
hey, yeah.
You know, they could get their knees stuck. Do you have anything else to talk about this episode, spoiler-free?
I don't believe so.
Yeah, so what's tough is, for one, especially this episode, there's no real analysis about the boot. Somebody stuck their neck out, and everybody's like, yeah, we don't want to do that, and went home. Pretty straightforward. Also, like, we can't do any predictive analysis. But as we go on, there will be more complicated votes to break down. Also, you guys will start leaving comments, and then that'll lead me to, you know, attack you for sharing your opinion. So that hasn't happened yet, but rest assured, that'll probably happen. But what we're also going to do for this season, a weekly segment. If you've been visiting the website throughout the summer, we've been doing weekly posts on nothing that John, in a fit of inspiration, I'm sure it took like 10, 15 seconds, called an up dog just to get somebody to say, what's up, dog?
I don't know, dog.
Oh, you don't know the response. The response is supposed to be not much. What's up with you? Anyway.
I was close. I was getting there. I said, I don't know, dog.
Where we just post random questions for people to leave, you know, conversation starters. We're going to do one a week on the podcast, what we're going to call the Weekly Up Dog. I'm not sure if the other posts will exist. They did this week, but maybe John thought it was Tuesday this morning. Who knows? Maybe that's why he didn't know it was Thursday, because he didn't post that post, which I think started on a Monday and migrated all the way to Wednesday. And I joked that it's going to be great when it's on a Saturday. And maybe. So what little here's my question for this week to you. What little thing are you doing right now in this moment in the world in an attempt to stay sane?
You know, that would imply that I'm successful at it.
No, it does not. I structured it very carefully in an attempt.
You're right. I mean, watching TV, but I did that anyway.
Have you found that your, like, TV choices have
well, been- I just completed a rewatch of New Girl, and honestly, it was great. I loved doing it. It was perfect for that. It was fun. I had a great time. I've just started. I guess that's the thing. I've been watching a lot of, you know, we have our new shows that we watch together, but I've also, like, been rewatching stuff. Right now, I just started a rewatch of Sister, Sister.
What's that on? Where are you getting that from?
Netflix.
There you go.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I think I heard about that coming.
Yeah, it just got added in October. And I was like, I got to finish New Girl so I can start Sister, Sister. That's where I'm at. I've also, I think what I've really noticed is, I kind of run through it also, that's lessening now, but I've been really on Spotify when I listen to music at work, reverting, like, just heavily regressing and reverting back to, like, all of the music I listened to in high school and college, which for me was very, like, emo scene, pop punk type stuff. And some of it holds, you know, I mean, none of it's probably, some of it holds up, and some of it I'm like, what are you doing? Oof.
Yeah. I think that's a key to young people music. If you can fully appreciate it as an adult, then it was probably not doing its job as young people music. Again, some of it perfectly, especially in the way that it can, like, bring you back to that.
Right. But, like, some of it,
you should be too old to get it.
Right, and some of it, even I probably would be too old if it happened now, but, like, yeah, I think at the same time it was, like, a big enough deal where I'm like, you know what, From Under the Cork Tree still slaps, I'm sorry, that is a great album, and I enjoyed it, but, like, it was more like the lesser known, like, bands of that era, where I was like, oh, yeah, there's a reason I, like, really only saw these guys open for other bands, you know, I was like, oh, Louis the King's album, Forever the Zucker Skins, not that great.
Yeah, and
Paramore, amazing all the way through.
I say this as somebody who started listening to emo probably when he was already too old to be into it.
This is true.
But that said, you know, there was probably stuff that you were listening to that even at that age, I'm like, yeah.
Right. I mean, I was always on the like poppier side of it. And the ones where I wasn't turned out to be heavily problematic, and I haven't listened to them since. And it's terrible. But that doesn't help me stay sane. So go
and
back
to thing, like, you know, there are many good things. Like, people be like, I'm organizing the vote, and all like, no, that's too big. I want like a little, you know, tiny thing that's just like what you were doing to just, you know, to try and bring it in when things are getting too much, or just, yeah. Because like I found, like, you know, with my TV watching all of that, we've strayed away from more challenging shows a lot. Like, there's, I think there was like one, and then it's like, yeah, let's just like we finally watched Glow, or like we're watching Cobra Kai right now, completely unchallenging. It's just like, I'm just not up for it. There's just so much now is, you know, weighing on people. And, you know, again, I'm pretty fortunate where I live, but, you know, I still live in the world. So, yeah, not immune. That is just like, yeah, smaller things. So for me, my whole life, pretty much, I wanted like a basketball hoop at my house. But when I was a kid, you know, we didn't like own our house or anything like that. We lived in like a townhouse. And also, like, I just wanted it because it seemed like a cool thing to do. I didn't even play basketball then, but I wanted one. Then when I got into basketball big time around junior high, again, the structure of our house, it just didn't make sense. And then from then on, you know, you're not buying a basketball hoop for the place that you're living at when you're 20 or something like that. I don't know if the people you rent from would really be up to it. But when the world shut down, I was like, because I kept talking about the kids, but never got around to it. I didn't, which was fine. They probably never would have played with it in many of those ages, even though, you know, I coached both of them at playing basketball teams, which is something I actually miss because that's not happening right now. But when it happened, it's like, okay, now's the time. But unfortunately, that's what everybody in the world thought of every kind of piece of like home, like exercise equipment when the world shut down. So I was not able to get one until like about a month ago. Finally, one showed up. Actually, it showed up on a website. I ordered it. And then I got an email like 3 days later saying that they didn't have it and they canceled my order. And then I checked the website again the next week and it was there. I'm like, I'm just going to keep playing this game until you find one. And they had one. So I find every once in a while, so just going out to on our little carport and shooting baskets to be a good way to, you know, release some levels of stress and anxiety. Obviously, a lot of times I'm playing with my kids, which sometimes becomes a little difficult because they keep wanting to play, like, you know, a game of horse or whatever. My skill level is a little higher than theirs. So I'm like, well, what can I do that they could conceivably do? And then when I get bored, I do stuff that they have no chance at doing so I can end the game. But even just going out there by myself has been pretty relaxing. But and also led to a fun discussion amongst us of the rankings of like the PRP in basketball. And what a great discussion that was. Like many
so
of these
sad.
Things. Barely anything separating and always pretty pathetic. But when you're comparing against everybody else, there's a thing which led to the promise, I think. I interpret it.
God, I wanted that.
If we ever, you know, have the ability again to get together, the prime motivator will be a PRP 3-on-3 to really finally settle the discussion. And that would be the saddest 3-on-3 competition of all time.
Saddest thing. Also, if I can add, because I just realized when I was talking about the TV, what I should have mentioned, I was remiss to not mention, is I think because I was thinking of quarantine as a whole, and this has only been maybe the past month or so, but I've gotten very into watching RuPaul's Drag Race. I say this because I know a lot of people in our community will be glad to hear about this. You know, largely with Brad and Em talking to them, but Brad has truly been my shepherd through this process of telling me which season to go with and then go that season. He gave me an abridged of one season where he's like, this season's not good, but just watch these episodes so then you can watch All Stars 2. So, yes, I am on episode 3 of season 9 by the time that by tomorrow. I've been watching about one. I've been watching, like, I'll watch one during my lunch break, and then the next morning during breakfast, I'll watch Untucked for that episode, which means nothing to you, Andy, but it will mean something to the people who watch. So I've now seen seasons six. Seasons. I was naming in the order I watched, but I've seen seasons 5 through 8, only part of 7, and All-Stars 2, and I'm 3 episodes into season 9. And I love Bianca Del Rio and Katia with all my heart. And that's been great. And it's fantastic. I'm very happy watching it.
All right. So in comments, obviously it's commenting about the episode. Leave little thing that you've been doing in an attempt to stay sane. You can let us know if the attempt has been successful or if it has, maybe a percentage hit rate. Hopefully it's a closer to my shooting percentage than, say, Emma's. Leave that in comments.
I was on a basketball team in middle school.
That's right. I'm sure the middle school basketball team you're on was quite fierce.
We lost every single game.
And so this thus ends the spoiler-free portion of the podcast. If everybody is listening, you can obviously engage and comment on our website, and that's at purplerockpodcast.com. The podcast, you can subscribe in all the various different places, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher. If you are a Google Play person, let me know if that's still a thing and if that's working, because I think it's switching over to like YouTube Music, and I did that right or I didn't do it at all. We're also apparently Amazon's doing podcasts now, and we got an email that apparently I filled out a form several months ago to get us on there. We are. Or you can subscribe on YouTube. You can follow the show on Twitter. That's Purple Rock Pod. I am at Purple Rock Andy.
I am Purple Rock Emma.
And next week, we're going to talk about the next episode of Pearl Island. So hopefully you'll join us then. And then if you are watching for the first time, now's the time to stop. For everybody else, spoilers, spoilers, spoilers.
Spoilers.
3, 2, 1. We're now going to talk about kind of observations from this episode and how it relates to the rest of the season. So knowing what we know about how the season goes, what really stood out for you this episode, if anything?
It was interesting. I feel like there were sprinkles of foreshadowing about the Outcast twist.
Yeah.
There seemed to be like a lot of mentions of like the game's not over until your torch is snuffed.
But that's the thing. That's what kind of like, or more, right? Like that right. I was actually wondering, because when Jeff said, I think he's the one who said something like that, I was surprised that he didn't code it. He does still say the torch is snuffed, when it's like, it should be like, it's not over until it's over, or till, like that was the one thing. It was like, you lie. It's still going to go even past the torch snuffing.
Because you also have that conversation specifically with Skinny Ryan and Lil, who now, I was trying much harder than you. I was trying really hard. That was the other thing of using the names that they're still using at that point, because Savage has been like almost only called Andrew. And Lil, I think of Lil sometimes, but a lot of Lillian. And then weirdly from Savage, a lot of Lily, which I'm like, okay, let's not be too familiar. And like Johnny Fairplay is definitely trying to make that happen, but I'm not sure if it's fully happened yet.
Yeah, I didn't quite notice it just yet. And I think Lillian was calling her Tawanda.
That's just...
Yeah.
Yeah,
I know. Like, I actually don't know if they started calling him Skinny Ryan yet, but it just is the way I needed to... did Savage break that out just yet?
He might have. Or, Ryan asked Rachel. It's hard. Whatever. I'll know what you mean. I want to say this a little quietly in case I'm overheard, but, he guessed that Sandra was going to win.
Yeah, and like, I was starting to get worried when I was saying it's like, I feel like the way I said it did not give away that you'd be right, because Super Survivor fans are most often wrong.
When you first said something, I was worried, but as you kept going, I was like, no, the way you're describing it makes sense. You're talking about the demographic.
But I will say, like, this episode is like a big Sandra episode. Like, when you're building
for sure
the case of why she was a winner, like this gets mentioned in it. And it's what's strange is that it is a first episode, but like this is a moment where she stood out, and it's not, as I said, it's not just because she knew the language. You see the way she deals with the people on the island, and you see the way that like everybody, now obviously part of it is because they're just like really grateful that they have a communicator. But like people started to gravitate and work with her in that moment. And I think it buys her a lot of the capital that I think propels her probably to the beginning part of the game, where someone like her would normally be a target. She's, you know, not white and also, you know, small and a challenge liability. But I think she was such a hero in that moment that I don't think anybody will think of it. Also, they won't lose for a bit.
It'll be interesting to see if this prediction, like, because I'll probably check in, assuming he keeps watching, like, as we go and see if he continues feeling that way. Especially because I forgot to mention this when I said earlier, but he also specifically cited her being under the radar, which is something that'll stay true.
Yes, 100%. So. That was interesting there. And this is what you kind of mentioned is like, how much of it is totally observation? How much has he just been, picking up on things that you've said about
before? Right. Know how you really are supposed to play. Does he remember me freaking out about Denise's move? Did that name stick in his head? I would not be surprised if it didn't, because he's like, that's crazy.
It was just because, like, there is no radar yet, you know, other than, like, people annoying people. We kind of got into that. Nobody seems to be planning out what, like, a winning path would be other than, you know, Savage being like, those people are going to help me win challenges, so they got to go. Right. That was something that was I found really noticeable, is, like, we're getting the birth of the paternalistic Andrew Savage, especially, like, near the second half of the episode. The sort of thing that many people watching just hate about him, and the sort of thing that, you know, I think some of us actually, like, find interesting or even amusing. But it was telling when I was saying things about, like, Skinny Ryan, like, his observations were cool. It's even, like, how the way he was saying is, like, the instant somebody suggested Andrew as the leader, it wasn't questioned. It was, like, there. And it's, like, could there be a more succinct example of how privilege and racial bias works in Survivor than just that moment? Hey, you should be the leader. Everybody's like, well, of course it's got to be him. I mean, just look at him.
I mean, to be fair, just look at
him. Yeah, well, that's the thing. It's, like, ultimately, it wasn't a bad choice, right? Right? Like, you see Austin trying to lead, and he sucked horribly at it. You saw when Rhino stuck out there. Again, not great. So it's like,
Layla is not assertive at all.
Would have been a good choice. And of course, you know, would never get the opportunity. But other than that, but it's like,
Dara doesn't speak.
It is the right choice, except that, you know, clearly his leadership works with a certain type of person, and 100,000% does not work with another type, you know.
Yeah, he could be a varsity coach, but he couldn't even coach JV.
No, and you wouldn't want him coaching youth sports where it's like just, you know, parents throwing.
Where you're there to have fun,
To learn things, and he'd be like, no, you guys are good. Blah, blah, blah. But, his daughters are competitive, you know, sports people. Probably
that's
worked
true.
On that.
He's hot. That's just how I feel.
It's just like, so the older, white male attractive is just like, yeah, of course you're the leader. And it's just like this distinct thing. Like, again, it's not a terrible choice, although they lost big and they're going to continue to lose until decides not to. So I was like, how great, like, it's just this great example of the, you know, how easy dudes, I mean, I'm not saying I'm gonna have Andrew Savage, but just like, you know, the white guy gets that job and it's just like, and what's also interesting Survivor is that sometimes it's not always a positive thing. Some people might be looking for, like, which, you know, Andrew Savage type can I pin this shit on so that I can hide behind?
Right. I mean, only a couple seasons ago, Hunter got voted out early for being a Savage type.
I think we even saw it. Like, I think it wasn't Nicole who suggested, like, we need one, but it's not going to be me.
Right.
Like, she doesn't want that. And it's funny because...
It's funny that she's the one who says that because she ends up sticking her neck out anyway.
But fast forward many years later when Andrew Savage comes back, absolutely, they were people using Savage's vanity and desire to be this way.
That got Jeremy halfway through the game.
Yeah, the winner of the season was part of his plan. And, you know, again, to be fair to Andrew Savage, it worked, right? Like, they didn't go to Tribal Council. Now, it's more about one of those unfair advantages, I think, than Andrew Savage's necessarily his leadership. They had a Joe and the other team didn't. But yeah, it's just, it's kind of interesting. Like, you see it start to develop here, like near the tail end of the episode where they're finally like, hey, we need a leader. And I mean, within the narrative, they kind of did. This is the tribe that was, you know, just not making any mutual decisions.
Yeah.
You'll also see that, like, his decision making is very much top down and exclusionary of the people like Lil, like Skinny Ryan.
And that'll come back to bite them.
100%.
And also, though, I will say, in fairness to the Morgan tribe, you know, they're a big, strong guy who we will see, like, Austin will care. Well, I guess it's more sad, but yeah, like, I mean, they're a big, strong guy, you'd assume, being Austin, like, has no clothes and ends up getting, like, riddled with staph infections.
Yes.
So that's a disadvantage.
And again, like, you know, they're building the story of Austin the quitter.
Yes.
Through all his failures, but it also is like you start to see, he's like, yeah, man, this guy made a bunch of bad decisions that led to this. Now, like, again, maybe he gets staph infections even if he has clothes, but it doesn't help to say would have been nice to throw on a sports coat.
That's definitely spelled like they are planting those seeds early on.
So yeah, those are kind of the biggest. And then yeah, you start or like right away the building of Rupert the hero begins, which is why it's so hilarious that my kids are like, "Oh, he's a villain." It's like, "No.
That's delightful.
Biggest hero ever. Just ask him." but here it feels very natural and like, you know, like I think at this point in his Survivor career, and this won't even necessarily be true for the entire season, but I feel like Rupert's actually being a genuine person and not the character of Rupert. And, you know, I still find it a little endearing. Obviously, you know, there's a bit of eye rolling because I know what he will become, a caricature of himself. But, like, there's real vulnerability, like, even just in looks and the way, like, Rupert. And you can see how he feels the way that Burton and Sean are excluding him.
Everyone always jokes how Rupert just will embody the theme of whatever season he's on. But I think while we definitely do see that with, obviously, with the piracy stuff, we also, you know, we see Rupert say, like, oh, I'm going to lie, cheat, and steal to win, which is, like, a very common thing people say, but not something you associate with a Rupert, because after this, he's on All Stars, and then he's a hero, and then he just like absorbs that, and it's like you forget that he came out swinging this first time. You know, he was really going for it, and yes, he was all about fishing and providing, but he was about that so they wouldn't want to get rid of him.
Mm-hmm. So a funny thing, and it's unfortunate that Matt couldn't make it tonight, is, you know, he is the internet's foremost Andrew Savage fan. I'm going to track how that goes this season, but it was great that he shared with us. Maybe, you know, he will again, but it has to be said now, is he became the dawning realization that Pearl Island's Andrew Savage is pretty much the closest person on the cast to his age. So, you know, he is now Andrew Savage aged, and, you know, we'll have to remember to ask him, do you feel like an Andrew Savage yet?
It's amazing. Also, I guess speaking of the aging too, and me earlier saying that I do think Savage is hot, tragically, that when this, it's funny as, you know, you age, like when this season came out, I was 13 and it was all about Rhino and he was just the cutest. And now I'm just like, sup, Savage.
Actually, I forgot to put this in the breakdown. You know, we probably could have spoken for people that aren't spoilers, but honestly, I don't know how many people that'll be. What are the thirst rankings right now? So right now, it seems like you got Savage right up there.
I think Savage. I mean, I know John really has it bad for Burton, but it's just not doing it for me right now.
Well, because he's so douchey, right?
He's so douchey. Savage is douchey too, but I don't know what works. I don't know what to tell you. Yeah. I don't know what that says internally here, but.
This is like a daddy thing.
No, I actually hate that.
I know. Yeah, so
not to king shame, but I just really hate how people say daddy. It makes me so uncomfortable.
That's not something that would work for me either. I'd be like, let's just not. No. No worries in that front. Yeah, for me, so there are definitely some attractive women on the season. Tawana, Michelle, I've always found to be pretty attractive.
Austin certainly was into Tawana.
Was that?
I said Austin was certainly into Tawana. He applauded when she was like,
So that's
well there, buddy.
This is going to be the showmance. And then Dara, the sexy mortician. But I gotta say,
when her job came up, my husband, laughed. I was like, what's funny? He was just like, I know there are morticians, but just that being a Chiron was funny to.
Yeah. But I gotta say, none of them are standing out 100% yet.
They're in SD.
It's the dudes, I think, the first episode that were really doing it because, I mean, they weren't wearing many clothes, right? The ladies are still, trying to wear the whatever outfit that they have, whereas, they didn't all get naked, but, the shirts were off right away, and they were...
Right.
So, on this...
Good time.
The third scale right now, I think, those that are into men are getting better served thus far, and we'll have to track that throughout the season. That's all I got for this week. You got anything else?
Yeah, no, I don't think the spoiler section is going to be that intense, especially on a premiere.
Yeah, basically, Sandra looks good, and we'll have to see how much the narrative is about her going forward.
Fair play's already obnoxious.
Yeah, but not fully, right? Right
but
now, it's like drunk and obnoxious. We don't quite see. Yeah, Rupert starting. We're starting to see why he was so popular. But it still has to build. And we're starting to see why Andrew Savage.
It is funny seeing the cool clip, of Bert and Sean and Michelle and knowing they'll all go out pre-merge. Obviously, Burton comes back. But it's these I should have included them in my cool kids rankings back in the day. I don't think I did. But
yeah, I think they were probably just surpassed over the years.
Yeah.
All right. That's all. I've already told you how to subscribe. So let's hit the music.
Yo ho, yo ho, a pirate's life for me. We pillage, we plunder, we rifle and loot. Drink up, me hearties, yo ho. We kidnap and ravage and don't give a hoot. Drink up, me hearties, yo ho. Yo ho, yo ho, a pirate's life for me.